Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. We had a full moon here on Wednesday, and then Thursday morning there was this beautiful snow, this decorative snow, which came down so that you could see animal tracks there on the ground. People sat in church and they watched the snow fall as Pastor Kohler preached his final sermon, which was very long and very boring and solemn. So that's how we will remember him. His car was all packed up for South Dakota, where he's going, where his people come from. His family lives near Rapid City, and he came to coffee hour afterward, but we didn't know what to say. What do you say to say goodbye to somebody who you are so glad to see leave? And like Wobegon, we don't talk all that much because we've been around these people long enough so that they know what we would have said if we were going to say anything. But he's fairly new, only been here for half a year. And he was driving off to the Southwest right into that snowstorm, and nobody asked him to stay or offered to put him up for the night for fear that he might say yes. There was a flock of about 40 turkeys on Wednesday that ran out of the woods, 40 of them all at once, and they ran out across this brown meadow, and they were running so fast, they got up momentum, and they took off, and they flew over a pond that had just started to freeze, and they flew over it, 40 turkeys, almost in formation. You could imagine them in formation. And they flew over it, and they landed running on the other side. Nobody took a video of this. It's one of the few things ever happened in the world that has not been videotaped. But if you imagine it, you can see it, and you can even improve on it, and they would fly even higher. It was quiet on Thursday morning, and church was on, and then in the afternoon, cars started to arrive, you know, young people, young couples who have to go to her parents and to his parents. So some of these exiles were coming in, and some exiles from town whom we had not seen in a long time. Our old quarterback from years ago arrived. He arrived in his van. He's changed so much since we knew him. He picked up a fortune cookie that said, "Stay in the circle and bring the ends together." And he's taken that now to be his philosophy. And he's always standing at right angles to people. And he's taking people by the hands and trying to bring them into a circle. He went to church on Thursday morning, and he would not sit in the pew. He sat in a chair out in the aisle facing in towards the others. He's become a hugger now. He never was. He used to tackle people, but now he hugs people. He's been off for a long, long time. He's had a troubled life. He came to town in his van with a waterbed in it, and he has black light on in there, which helps him. He said, deal with this hammering in his head. He was in a bar down in Houston, Texas, and it was called the Brass Monkey, and he had 11 beers, and he was walking into the men's room. He has this problem with his feet, too. Wearing tube socks cut off his circulation. He was wearing sizes that were too small, and they cut off his circulation, so he has no feeling on the soles of his feet. And he walked into the men's room, and he tripped there in the doorway, and he banged his head on the urinal. And ever since then, he's been hearing this hammering in his head, and also sometimes hearing the song 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall, and he's unable to stop it. Unable, except what helps him, he said, are his snakes. He keeps snakes. Non-poisonous, but I mean, how do you know? And he keeps them in a terrarium, and they're there by his waterbed, and they're in the van, and he puts the snakes in bed with him, and they make a circle around him. They wrap themselves around him, and then the hammering goes away. We heard all of this with great interest, and nobody invited him in for Thanksgiving. Irene Bunsen had a big Thanksgiving dinner. She got a 36-pound turkey because she was expecting guests, and it was too big to go into her oven. And so she set it down on her kitchen floor, and she climbed up on the counter, and she jumped right down on the turkey, just both feet right down on the turkey, and it flattened the turkey. And she got up and she washed off her bare feet, and she put this flattened turkey into the pan, and now it would fit in her oven. Her husband, Carl, her husband Clint, stood there watching her without saying a word. They've been married for 43 years, and he'd never seen anything like this. He really, really, really admired that sort of spirit. She made a corn casserole, and Irene and Clint, they were going to have, as I say, Thanksgiving with these people, but then these people were going to come up from Houston, Texas, people they had met in Hot Springs, Arkansas, but then they saw the weather forecast from Minnesota, and they decided that they could not come, so they canceled out. And meanwhile, she got a 36-pound turkey, and so she invited Clarence. Clarence and Arlene came over with their daughter Barbara Ann and her husband Bill and their son Benjamin and his wife Ashley, who is pregnant. She used to have migraines, terrible migraines, but pregnancy has somehow solved this. She came over, and they had all this this corn casserole. Ashley said that she could not eat corn casserole, and she would prefer that it not be on the table because her mother had loved corn so much, and her father had abandoned her mother for a yodeler who she heard on the radio. And so either yodeling or corn really is a kind of a trigger for Ashley. So the casserole was put away, and then she went upstairs. She had a migraine, and she may have been up there with snakes, for all we know. We have no idea. Carla Krebsbach came back from Los Angeles. She has her husband and three children, three beautiful, well-planned children, 9, 7, and 5 years old. And she came back with her four golden retrievers. She doesn't come back often, and when she does, she doesn't like to go out and meet people because she's tired of being asked about that homecoming parade years and years and years ago when she was the homecoming queen, and she was riding the convertible, and it was October day, and she was riding along, and then here straight toward her came the tractor with her dad, Carl, behind it, and the big rack carrying the septic tank. And she's heard about this so often, people ask how that was, and she's tired of hearing about it, and she's also tired of people asking about her husband, who is a veterinary periodontist in Los Angeles. And so she kind of stays in, subjects she does not care to go into any farther. Sweet kids, they're sweet kids, or three little kids. They decided that they would celebrate on Thanksgiving morning by waking up Grandpa and Grandma Krebsbach, and they burst into their bedroom, and Grandpa and Grandma were wrestling there in bed, and they were making strange sounds and moaning and saying things. And then Grandpa saw the kids, and he let out a shout, and he wrapped the blanket around them, and Grandma was sitting there all sweaty, but they got up, not happily, and they made breakfast, and Grandma put the turkey in the oven. These four golden retrievers took a great interest in this turkey as she was broiling it, because there was a leak in the bulb of the baster. And so as she was basting it, it was squirting gravy out behind her, and these golden retrievers were moving in and licking it up off the floor. She didn't realize this for a while, and then she took a step back and she slipped, And she threw this turkey on in the pan. She just kind of thrust it forward, and it went sliding off on the floor, off into the dining room. Carla was there to catch it, and she put it in the oven, and most of the dog hair was removed, and the rest of it was just burned off, I guess. But it tasted really good, and it was a beautiful golden color. Carla made this, made a dessert with plums and prunes and bananas and rum that did not sit well with Carl, her dad, and so he went into the bathroom for about an hour with the 1812 Overture playing on a boombox on the back of the toilet. Their son, Carl Jr., was there too. He's recently come back from Minneapolis. We're not sure what he has been up to down there, but he came back to town with the idea that he would look up Glenda Tollerud, who has gone off to Saskatoon. She runs a summer camp there for disabled people. It was 15 years ago that he was supposed to take Glenda out for a cheeseburger, and he'd never made it because he ran into a deer on the road, and it just became too complicated. He was traumatized, and meanwhile, she left town to work for this camp up in Saskatoon, up in Canada, and she never married, and now that he's divorced, he's thinking that soon as his life kind of settles down a little bit, he might like to look up Glenda again, but he looked in the Tollerud's yard, and there was no car there with Canadian license plates, so she was not there. He did not go in, so he never found out that she was there, actually. She'd gotten a ride to Lake Wobegon. She was right there, the woman of his dreams. She was in the kitchen. She had made pumpkin pie. And if she had just parted the curtains, she would have seen him standing out in the street with the snow falling down around him. She was sort of wishing in the back of her mind that she might see him, but she did not. And so there they were. They got within 50 feet of each other without any idea that the other was there. We are islands in the sea of life, and seldom do our peripheries touch. Anyway, there's snow on the ground in Lake Wobegon, animal tracks, bird tracks there on the ground, and snow on the evergreen boughs, and ice is starting to form on the pond, and the Christmas wreaths are up on the lamps. And around this time of day, there's a sort of a glow, a magical glow over our town. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.